You're listening to the World's Robert Crichton podcast. New audio freshly delivered every week, direct from me, Robert Crichton. If you like this audio, consider becoming a patron. Go to patreon.com/Robert Crichton to help support my work. And now, your podcast. You're listening to The Other Day, a story from The Other Day about me, Robert Crichton, and my day, The Other Day, as opposed to today. It was definitely another day. The other day, in fact. Hence the title. The Other Day. That's what this is called. The Other Day. Yeah.
I was in hospital the other day for one of my many ailments, and normally you go in and the doctor says, Hi, you're hanging in there, nothing we can do, please crawl away to die responsibly. But I noticed that there were two options available to me. I mean, the first was the normal door to see my consultant, and the other was a small tent, purple and covered in badly sewn on stars. I asked the receptionist, and she said that as part of the new privatised NHS, I had a choice to see the normal consultant or pay to see one of the new franchises that was sub-renting the space. I asked how much, and she said, up to the customer. So when my name was called, I thought I'd give it a go. I went into the tent, which was dark and pungent with deep, disturbing smells, and a voice asked me to sit. Across from me was a small lady, dressed in multiple layers of Hessian, with so many rings on her fingers that they were practically a gauntlet. She saw me looking at the rings. You like, yes? I nodded. Do they have any special significance? I asked. Not really, she said. But there have been a spate of muggings in the area, and I like to leave a mark. She waved her clinking hand. Now, tell me your troubles. I explained the nature of my various ailments, not in excessive detail, just to the point where you could see the light of hope draining from behind her eyes. I see, she said. I must examine you now, she said. I dutifully stood up to remove my trousers for the anal probing I'd come to expect from all medical practitioners. No need, sir, she said. Just lean your head back. I did so. I was quite surprised when she leaned over to me and started to lick my Adam's apple. I wasn't sure whether an anal probing was more or less of a violation. Before I could say anything, she had pulled back and said firmly that she thought as much. She could cure me. Weird sexual assault on the thorax aside, I was delighted. Then she said how much it would cost. I don't carry that amount of money, I said. Not a problem, she said, pulling out a card machine. We take all major credit cards. As I inserted my PIN number, I asked, what precisely is this cure? She held up a vial, which contained a dark, sickly brown liquid. This, she said, is a restorative cure to all ills, a positive panacea for almost every problem. What is it, I asked. The finest, the purest, Ewok blood. Ewok blood, I asked. Really? Yes, she said. It's very rare. I bet it is, I said. How do they acquire it? I mean, I'm assuming it's not good for the Ewok. Don't worry, she said. We're not barbarians. It's not like we cut off their penises anymore. So how is the Ewok blood collected? Oh, it's all very scientific these days. The Ewok is scientifically chosen by scientists when they're at least 6 months old, where they are scientifically taken from their mothers and taken to a special scientific cage where the blood letting is carefully controlled by scientists working out of a very scientific warehouse in Bermondsey. So it's very scientific then. Oh yes, she said. Scientists scientifically make a small hole in the side of the Ewok and the blood is collected. It's not painful at all, and the Ewoks never try to kill themselves from the pain and no one hears any screams. No one wants to hear an Ewok scream. That's why the scientists wear ear mufflers. There's no refund available for this, is there? No, she said cheerfully. But if you don't want the Ewok blood, then I can offer you this decorative paperweight. The paperweight was about 6 inches across and 4 inches high and showed an Ewok sitting crying in the snow, tugging at the chains holding it down. Before I went, I asked, why Ewok blood? And she replied, would you rather it was panda? To which I had no reply. So I took my Ewok paperweight and walked from the hospital to the bus station, eventually throwing the globe into a bin. Which was unlucky, really, because it might have come in handy when the mugger jumped me. Took my mobile phone and wallet, and after a vicious beating, left me for dead. As I lay bleeding on the street, having been robbed twice, I found my thoughts drifting towards that poor Ewok in chains, and what might have been. Then, as I felt my life force drifting away and the darkness begin to enfold me, I heard a voice that spoke words of great comfort.
Do not worry, it said. The High Lord has come to save you.
Was that the voice of God? I wondered. No. It was the voice of a local aromatherapist come wizard, who was one of the many official first responders. The High Lord informed me that a paramedic was on his way but might take 20 minutes due to budget cuts. However, if I'd rather have immediate treatment, he was willing to take payment there and then.
Just mutter your PIN number, the High Lord whispered into my ear as he searched my already rifled pockets for a credit card. And that, mercifully, ladies and gentlemen, is when I died.
Thank you and good night!
Until my next death. Goodbye. You've been listening to an The Other Day story written and performed by Robert Crichton. Other stories of my grisly demise are available while stocks last. To support this and other podcasts from the worlds of Robert Crichton, go to www.patreon.com/Robert Crichton. And for as little as only a dollar a month, exchange rates vary, you can get additional bonus features and audio stuff.